Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, the message. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights, he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, "It takes more than bread to really live." For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, "They are yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me and they're yours, the whole works." Jesus refused, again backing his refusal with Deuteronomy, "Worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness." For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, "If you are God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone." "Yes," said Jesus, "and it's also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God." That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. Thanks be to God.
As you get to know me, you will find out that I'm pretty good at talking, perhaps talking too much, as I'm sure Peter will be able to tell you. But there's one word that I have tremendous difficulty in being able to say. It's a small word. It's a common word. It's a word that children learn to say when they're very young, and in my experience, quite often. Pretty much everyone knows it. It's easy to spell. It's easy to pronounce. But it's very difficult to say. I have multiple opportunities each day to say this simple word, but it's amazing how many times I choose not to say it. Sometimes that's out of fear, or embarrassment, or I just want to be helpful. Any guesses what the word is? Philip?
No.
Excellent. One of the hardest words to say, or at least for me, the word no. I'm sure I'm not alone in struggling with saying this word. Do any of you struggle with saying the word no? Few nods. It's hard for us to say no because there are so many good things out there in the world. There are so many opportunities, so many needs, so many people who could use a helping hand. And we want to help these people. We want to meet those needs. We want to fill those voids. In today's reading, Jesus says no 3 times. The story is not one of Jesus' teachings, but it's a story that the narrator tells. Luke presents this as Jesus being tested. The Message translation that I've used uses the word test rather than the word temptation. And in other translations, the word temptation is used. But I prefer the word test. For me, the word temptation has a negative connotation. It represents a lure to do the wrong thing. And often we talk about temptation in the church, in my experience, as the temptation to participate in evil things like lust, greed, etc. But the word test, I think, is a more positive word. And perhaps this comes from my experience of being a staff member at Trinity College. But it seems to me that the word test is about growth. Perhaps growth in wisdom and knowledge. So if we look at the testing of Jesus in the wilderness, Jesus is being asked to not to indulge in evil things, but by being asked to participate in things that otherwise might seem good and sensible. First, he's asked to turn stones into bread. Now, I don't know about you, but I would struggle to go 40 days without food. In fact, I would struggle to go a couple of days without food. My energies would be lacking. I'd be tired. I'd have no energy. So the bread that Jesus could have made could have satisfied his hungry body. And as he was in the wilderness, it would have been plenty of stones that he could have fed many hungry people from. And in fact, a little while later, that is exactly what he did. He took a small amount of bread and fish and fed a great crowd. So the challenge or the test to Jesus was to be the new Moses for the people. But Jesus says no. He replies by drawing on Moses, by citing Deuteronomy. Bread is good, but not sufficient to define Jesus' mission. Next, Jesus is asked to rule the world. This test portrays the devil in the role of ruler of the world, who can manage the governance of the world's kingdoms. But the price of this test is to worship someone other than God. Now, in these times, remember that most of the known world in Luke's day was under the heavy-handed control of Rome and its economic, administrative, and military empire. So we might think that a regime change would have been good for the world. But yet again, Jesus' answer is no. The price is too high. Once again, Jesus' response comes from Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve God with absolute single-heartedness. The final test concludes in Jerusalem, the place where Jesus' ministry will culminate in his passion and resurrection, and where the church will begin. In this test, the devil asks Jesus to throw himself off a pinnacle of the temple with the assurance that God will save him spectacularly by employing a host of angels to come to his rescue. The temple is the place where the most righteous, the priests, carry out their work. Go there and test it, challenges the devil. Many of those righteous people in Jesus' day, however, were living out their role among Israel's elites by working hand in glove with the Roman occupiers to the detriment of Israel's poor and suffering. We might think, surely, reform is in order. But again, Jesus' response is no. again from Deuteronomy, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God. The thing is that none of these tests would harm anyone, not initially anyway. And Jesus does feed the hungry. He does change the political equation. He does perform some miracles at various points in his ministry. The real issue was whether Jesus was going to seek selfish advantage or seek to serve God. The writer of Luke tells us that Jesus was not to be sidetracked. We're also assured by Luke that the Holy Spirit was alongside him the whole time. So Jesus was not separated from God's love. This same Spirit who led Jesus into the wilderness also leads us into places where we are tested. The source of our testing comes from things that are reasonable and good. We want approval of other people. We desire to be comfortable. We have God-given appetites for food, drink, shelter, and rest. And yet each of these things may come to us as a test. We can use every one of them selfishly, and every one of them can sidetrack us from following our God. In looking out for ourselves, we can end up disadvantaging, harming, and abusing other people. We see this outcome in our communities every day. We just need to open our newspapers. On any given day, we can find stories of physical violence, mental abuse, financial fraud, and many other terrible things. As I've looked at the newspaper this week, I've seen story of a riot at the end of a protest at Parliament, the continuing situation in the Ukraine, the two most obvious examples. But there was also a story about the latest assessment on climate change that was released on Tuesday by the UN. The report clearly indicates that places where people live and work may cease to exist, and the ecosystems and species that we've all grown up with, that are central to our culture and inform our languages, may disappear. The new study says that the impacts are already going beyond the ability of many people to cope. And while everyone is affected, some are being hit much harder than others. And it doesn't take much to work out that it is those with the least who are impacted the most. But our testing also comes in far more subtle ways. Our own pride, ambitions, and appetites can bring harm to others. These things keep us apart from the goodness of God's purpose for us. All of which leads us into the season of Lent. Lent is a season of testing so that we can grow, so that we can be open to the grace of God. During this period of self-examination, we can use this time to find inner healing from past hurts and scars. We can use this time to check our attitude towards others and bring reconciliation and unity. We can use this time to focus on our concern for creation, to become the best steward of God's good earth that we can possibly be. We can use this time to deepen our relationships with God and our desire for new depths of intimacy with our Creator. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, it says, "If we say that we have not sinned, we are fooling ourselves, and the truth isn't in our hearts. But if we confess our sins to God, God can always be trusted to forgive us and take our sins away. The tests we face are opportunities to discern how God is calling us to live. They are moments in which we, after wrestling and grappling, are confronted with the truth of who we are. In those moments, we are given the opportunity to love our neighbours as we love ourselves, even when sometimes we want to deny who we are just to keep the peace. We may find people around us who think our choices and our actions are foolish, but when we are given the opportunity to discover who we really are in Christ, we can go forward with a confidence that so many others have walked this road before. May we find the strange gift of saying no to be an opportunity for self-discovery. May we strengthen the muscle of saying no when we need to, as we realize that our yeses will be far more what they need to be when we are following God's leading. And even when we fail, may God grant us the assurance to know that even in our failings, we are loved and we are welcomed with open arms.